Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 61. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer, and I'm joined by several members of the SMA News Today team today. First off, I have Michael Morale. Michael, how are you today?
Doing great, Kevin. How about you?
Doing really well. Excited to be here. And we also have back on the show, Deanne Runge, our very own vlogger and forums moderator. Deanne, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. So today we're going to be talking about the recent Cure SMA conference, which obviously was very different this year since we couldn't meet in person in light of COVID. This was the first year in the organization's 36-year history that they did the conference entirely virtual. So this was very new to all of us, and I thought it'd be really cool to kind of recap our experiences there and talk about, you know, how we benefited from it and just sort of what the overall experience was like. So this will be really cool. And so, Deanne, I'm actually going to start with you because this was your first SMA conference of any kind. And again, obviously very different, but just from what you attended, and also I'll go ahead and say that, like, not all three of us kind of attended different things, which is similar to how what you do at an in-person conference. You kind of, like, pick and choose what you want to go to. But Deanne, for you, what were some of the big takeaways you had going to this conference? And I know you did the adult socials with me. So, yeah, what were some of your highlights?
Well, first of all, I've never gone to a conference. I find it very hard to travel long distances. I don't know how you all do it. So kudos to you if you can. But that's the biggest challenge for me, going to a conference. So being that it was online and virtual, I was able to attend a few of the seminars and also meet up with a lot of the other SMA adults that their names might be familiar to me, but I've never actually met face to face. And this, even though we weren't in person, it put a face to the name. So that was cool.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, we actually had several members of our forums community who we've interacted with plenty of times online, but never put a face to the name. That was really cool to see, and to see them join on the adult socials. So that was really cool. But that's great. Michael, what about you? I know you attended one in-person conference a couple years ago, but what was it like for you? Kind of, I know you did a lot of the research panels and workshops. So what were some of your highlights?
Well, I think most of the ones that I went to revolved around some of the clinical trials that are ongoing, that have been ongoing for, you know, years now. And so they gave a really good update with regards to risdiplam from Genentech, talked about how, you know, they're under FDA review right now, and they're seeing some really positive data come out of that, which, of course, they couldn't really speak on it because it is under FDA review, and the FDA limits how much information they can give until it's either accepted or denied. And then once it's accepted, which we think it will be, then the FDA will write the label. So they talked about the reasons why there was a delay in the announcement. The original announcement was supposed to come on or before May 24th of this year, which was just, you know, about a month ago. But the FDA requested additional data from Genentech regarding an older population being able to receive this treatment, which will, if it's accepted, which will be an oral treatment. And so they pushed the announcement to on or before August 24th of this year. So we think it may come a little bit earlier than that, but that's just an assumption on our part. But so anyway, they went into as much detail as possible regarding risdiplam and some of the benefits that they've seen with it. They also spoke about Biogen Pharmaceuticals. They're going through a clinical trial that is looking at a higher dosage of Spinraza for different populations of people that are on the treatment right now. So they spoke a little bit about that. And so, you know, basically it was just an update with regards to the various clinical trials that are ongoing. And it was interesting, but it was information that the majority of us with SMA are probably already aware of. But it was nice to hear the information regarding risdiplam, which in my opinion, is going to be a great positive for all of those of us that, especially for those that weren't able to take Spinraza. You know, there are quite a few people that weren't able to take Spinraza because doctors couldn't get into their central nervous system with a needle to inject the treatment. And so risdiplam will be an oral treatment, which will be easier because you just drink it. And for those individuals that cannot swallow, that have a G-tube, risdiplam, we think, will also be in a powdered format, so it can be delivered through a G-tube. So those that were not able to take Spinraza will now be able to take an active treatment once it's approved by the FDA. So that was really the only seminars that I went to based on, you know, my time. I didn't have time to go to some of them. But I know that the virtual concept of this seminar that they have, I think this is going to be something that, or at least it's something that I hope that they continue, because it gave people like Deanne a chance to go to one, or, you know, as many as she wanted to go to. It gave her the ability to go, even though she can't travel. And I'm kind of in the same boat as Deanne. It's very difficult for me to just pack up and get in a van and go. So I'm hoping that they keep this virtual format available for those of us that can't travel. So I'm excited. Next year, I think, and Kevin, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think next year they said that the Cure SMA conference is going to be in Texas, which is my home state.
Yep. But
it's going to be either in San Antonio or Austin, and you can tell me which one. But anyway, even that's going to be difficult for me to get to. So I'm really hoping that they keep this virtual idea going.
Sure. Yeah, it'll be in Austin next year. And well, and I think, too, it's like I'm talking with people in other rare disease communities, both here at work at our parent company and across the border. And, you know, I think there's a way to really integrate virtual and in person in the future. So, you know, that is because I think a lot of the things we did this year, and I'll, Dan and I will get to the adult socials a little more in a minute, but it's, I think it's very possible to have kind of both going and to do more virtual throughout the year. And I think I kind of hate that it took a global pandemic for a lot of organizations to realize that, but it is a, you know, kind of a positive effect to come from all this. And so I absolutely think that it's a possibility. Michael, one follow-up point. Oh, go ahead, Ian.
I would like to see like the combination you were talking about.
Yeah.
I think that in-person connection is really important.
Yeah.
But like you said, not all of us can make it. So if you can integrate the two, I think that would be really great.
Right. And I definitely, I'm going to get into my ideas for that in just a minute when we talk about especially the adult socials. But Michael, one follow-up question I had for you, because I didn't get to attend many of the research panels, but did they say anything about the possibility of a combined therapy, either between Biogen and Genentech or someone else? Was that at all brought up?
I remember them saying something about combination therapies, that they're looking into it. Spinraza and risdiplam both work basically about the same with respect to addressing the deficiency in the protein in the SMN2 gene. Now, are they going to do a combination therapy between risdiplam and Spinraza? I think that's still up in the air, but I think when they were talking about combination therapies, I believe that they were looking at, I know that Scholar Rock has a treatment that they're testing right now in different clinical trials. It's called SRK-015, and it addresses the myostatin levels that are in the bodies of patients with SMA, and myostatin is a growth inhibitor which keeps muscles from getting stronger. So, and I'm not, you know, of course I'm not a doctor and I may be wrong by saying this, but I believe Spinraza and risdiplam both work kind of on the cellular level, whereas SRK-015 from Scholar Rock will work on the muscular level. So I believe that they're looking at some kind of combination therapy where it addresses both cellular and muscular issues. And, you know, there's been a lot of question as to if we have this higher level of myostatin in our body and it's keeping our muscles from getting stronger, you know, what really is risdiplam and Spinraza doing for us? And, you know, I've been on Spinraza for the last 3 years almost. It'll be 3 years in September. And I feel like I've gotten stronger. You know, my breathing is better. My energy level is through the roof, which I'm also taking physical therapy, which I think has also been a benefit for me. But if they can find some kind of a combination therapy where they can use risdiplam or even Spinraza with this other treatment that we're hoping will be out in the next year and a half or 2 years, that would really be an answer to a lot of prayers because it's addressing multiple issues that affect all of us with SMA. So they did talk about it, but again, this is just a concept that they have right now. So I'm sure they don't want to divulge too much information before it can be ethically and, I guess, ethically backed up.
Right, right. No, that's really interesting. I was just curious. And like you said, it's kind of the conference came kind of right before, you know, probably when risdiplam is going to be approved. But so there's only so much I can say. But yeah, I know I've been at conferences before where that concept has been brought up. So it's interesting that that's still being considered. And yeah, it'll be really interesting to see, especially in the next year or two, what the future will look like. And but yeah, it's really exciting. Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. And yeah, Deanne, you and I, most of what we did with the conference this year was the Adult with SMA virtual socials, which took place entirely on Zoom. I did a column about this the last week, and it was a really cool experience. Speaking based on personal experience, having gone to conferences, in-person conferences for years, you know, that's the thing I always look forward to the most is just getting to hang out with other adults in the community and from all over the place and really get to have that time to just hang out with one another. And, you know, of course, we go to bars and do all that. And it's a really great time. But it was really interesting doing it virtually this year. You know, I saw a lot of familiar faces, but there was also a lot of people who had never been to a conference before, and they were engaging for the first time, and you know, and people from all over the globe. I mean, there was one guy there from Venezuela. There was a woman from Finland, I believe. It was really diverse in terms of geographical locations and everything else, and it was really cool to see that. So, what was I get? Because I'm also asking for feedback on this because I'm part of the Council on CARES-MA who helped organize those. That's separate from the work I do here. But I'm just curious, Deanne, what your feedback was on that, and if you want to just talk about that a little bit and how we set it up and everything.
Well, I thought it worked out really well. I don't know, what would you say, between 60 and 80 people?
Yeah, I think we got about 60 plus signed up the first night,
Since there's so many people, we can't really all talk at once. So they had what was called breakout rooms where they took a handful of people, maybe 10 to 12, and had them go in separate rooms for like 40 minutes and kind of talk and get to know each other and discuss life. And then after that 40 minutes, we would switch up the rooms so we could meet some new people. And some people were the same, so we got to know them more. And so it was really fun. I loved that there was such a wide range of age groups, too. I think there was from, like, 18, 19 all the way up into their 70s. So that was great to see, too.
Absolutely. It was similar experience of mine. There were, like, people just starting college, and then people who had been in the workforce for like 30 years or were retired. And it was really cool to see that and those connections. But yeah, what you said about, we did the way they split us up into break rooms was just a random assign. And so, yeah, I got to meet a lot of new people, but I also, I think there was one person in mine who was literally in every single one of my break rooms, like not just on one night, but like throughout the week. And so it was just funny how that worked out. But I think you and I ended up in one break room together. I can't remember which night, but yeah.
Yeah, that's just kind of the way it goes sometimes. But like sure. I said, you got to know them a little bit better.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it was fun.
And, I mean, that's similar to what happens at in-person conferences. Like, you know, you definitely meet a ton of people, and some you get to know on an acquaintance level. But I really like that, getting to know some certain people, like, really well over the course of a weekend or a few days. And I think that happened here, too. So that was really cool to see. But yeah, it was just... Oh, go ahead.
I live in a rural area where I don't see a lot of my fellow SMAers.
Yeah.
So it was nice to actually make a connection with them other than bumping into someone at a doctor's appointment.
Right. Well, and I mean, even in my case, like, I mean, I'm very connected to the SMA community, but most of that connection takes place online, except for in-person conferences. And so, because, you know, I mean, I live in North Carolina where there is a fair amount of SMA of adults and also families in the area where I live. But at the same time, it's, you know, we only get to see each other but so often throughout the year. You know, most of my connections, like I said, take place on Zoom or over the phone. And the in-person conference is really where the time I get to, like, interact with the most. But it was, I'm really glad that, you know, for people who just, and there are tons in the SMA community who have a really difficult time traveling, that they have this opportunity. And you know, and I thought another thing that was really cool is there were several people throughout the week who had joined the socials who were entirely nonverbal, and they were able to, and with Zoom, you know, that you have, obviously it's a video chat system, but like they have a chat room on the right where you can just type out messages. And so we were able, for anyone who's nonverbal, they could just type anything they wanted to say in that chat, and, you know, one of us would read it for everyone. And so that was a really cool way to incorporate, because, I mean, it's not at all uncommon for people who are nonverbal or have trouble speaking to be at conferences, but, and, you know, I mean, the SMA community is very inclusive, and we want to make everyone feel right at home, but at the same time, it's like, some people just have a really hard time speaking up in large crowds and everything. So I think that the virtual setup makes them feel more comfortable and at ease, because you're able to just type out your messages there. And it was super easy to just, you know, make them part of the conversation. So that was really cool. But yeah, no, it was really cool. And speaking of that, and all the people that, you know, were on those socials, and, you know, the community that we had there, I did want to mention a little plug here, but also ties directly into it. So listeners out there may be familiar with what we did last year here at SMA News Today for SMA Awareness Month in August. We did an initiative called 31 Days of SMA, where every day throughout the month, we featured a different person from the SMA community. It could be an adult with SMA, a parent or caregiver, spouse, a physical therapist. You know, there was a myriad of people, and we are doing that again this year, and I've already started reaching out to some people and everything about it. So for anyone who would love to be a part of that, you can send me an email at kevin@bionewsservices.com. BioNews is our parent company, and we'll have this information on our forums and our Instagram page as well. But I did want to mention that because, again, it's very reflective of the community we built throughout the week here at the conference. And I definitely want to keep that going here at SMA News Today. So I did want to go ahead and plug that. And again, we'll have more information about that in the coming weeks. But I'm really excited to feature that I met that week through the conference and share their stories. So it's going to be really cool. And I guess, Deanne, do you have, you know, I think it's very possible, based on what we, you know, going back to what we were saying earlier about conferences, not just the SMA one, but other conferences for other disease communities, to really incorporate virtual systems and in person simultaneously. Do you have any ideas for possibly what that could look like? You know, thinking about next year's conference or in the future, how we could take some of what we did here this year and use that for future conferences.
Well, I'm hoping that if you have like a seminar live where there's people attending it, that they can also stream that online.
Right.
And then maybe, I know in the socials, we talked about having an ongoing where maybe once a month or, you know, every few months that we can do a virtual get together.
Yeah.
So if that, you know, if we could incorporate some of that with the live conference, you know, activities, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's very possible. And, you know, like I said, I wrote about this and, you know, and I've talked with some people from other disease communities about how it could work. And especially using this as a test run, because I had the same concern of like, how do you do, you know, how to organize socials with like 60 plus people online at once. And I think that it really worked well doing the break room system and rotating people throughout the night and getting to meet people just like you would at an in-person conference, but only it's done virtually. So I definitely think it's something that a lot of disease communities can take into consideration for the future when things do return to some semblance of normalcy. I kind of hate using that word in light of everything that's going on in the world right now. But again, when we can actually meet in person again, what that will look like and how we can still, you know, incorporate virtual systems into that and make it a combination of in-person and virtual. So it'll be really cool to see. But it was a really great conference. And the only other thing I wanted to touch on, and Deanne, Michael, I don't know if you attended this one, but Shane and Hannah from Squirmy and Grubs did a like a webinar with Genentech. It was basically an interview with them, and they also had spotlights from other members of the SMA MyWay team. And if you don't know what that is, SMA MyWay is a new patient initiative developed by Genentech. It's a very much like a community support online thing. Similar to what we do, but what they've done is gather just a small team of influencers with the community, and our very own Brianna Albers is one of them. So shout out to her. And you can actually, the site there is live now, and you can see some of the initial contributions by Brianna, Shane and Hannah, Alex Dacey, Kevin Chandler, and then Jeremy and Amanda Camp. Their youngest son has SMA. And it's a really cool project, and I'm excited to see where it will go. But anyway, I did attend that seminar, and it was just a very like a conversation between a representative from Genentech and Shane and Hannah. And they did the same thing last year. Of course, it was in person there. But did either of you attend that one?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Gotcha. Yeah. I thought it was really cool. I don't know, Dan, did you have any takeaways from that? I mean, I know anyone who's familiar with Shane and Hannah from their YouTube channel or read Shane's books, you know, it was a lot of topics they touch on in both of those platforms. But I thought it was a really good conversation. I don't know. Dan, did you have any takeaways from that?
Well, Shane and Hannah are very personable, so I love that about them.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important for the younger SMA individuals to see that and kind of see that Shane, you know, has a fulfilled life and has a great life, and that you can do things despite, you know, your muscle function. So I do think that there were a lot of takeaways that way regarding some of the younger SMA individuals.
Absolutely. Well, and I, it's cool you mentioned that, because I was thinking too, some of the younger people who joined us on the adults with SMA socials that week, they actually were motivated to go to them after watching that panel. So that was really cool, because it's, and you see that at in-person conferences too, if it's someone's first conference, you know, there's a lot, and especially if, you know, they may be introverted and, you know, there's a lot of anxiety about, you know, joining up with this huge group of people, many of whom already know each other. And that was really cool that I thought it was a very encouraging conversation and was really important for especially young people to hear. So, yeah, that was really cool. And
I know listening to that, I know Shane's had a lot of insecurities that we've all had in our younger years, and just overcoming that and kind of becoming, you know, who you are as a person. I think that was really, it's fun to watch and fun to listen to. And I think, it was a good segment.
No, it's a great point. I think, you know, there's misconception, not just in the SMA community, but like, but just in larger society, where you see someone like that who is a big time influencer on online and on social media, and who has a really great life and is engaged and everything, you think, oh, that person has never had the same insecurities and anxieties and problems that I have, which is not true in the least bit, because, you know, like you said, you know, that's something that Shane has talked about and written about many times before, about he dealt with all those same insecurities and anxieties about the future. And, you know, it was not an, a one and done thing where he suddenly woke up and was like, okay, I'm going to live my great life today. No, it was very much a process. And if you read his books and, you know, you watch their channel and listen to their conversations, I do appreciate how open he was about that, and how, specifically he and Hannah were talking about, like, they get a lot of questions about, you know, because Hannah is his primary caregiver, and they talk about, you know, was there ever any friction about that? And, you know, and really what they said was Hannah never had any problems with that. It was more Shane was very hesitant to ask, you know, a romantic partner to, you know, take on those responsibilities. And, you know, and that's a whole nother conversation about, like, you know, having a spouse as a caregiver. I know there's many different opinions on that, but just talking about the anxieties he had about asking her to do those things, it was more just his anxiety. She was totally willing and comfortable to do those things. So that, I'm really glad that they were open about topics like that and other things. And also they're very easygoing, and, you know, they can make you laugh regardless whether it's, you know, just an online thing or in person. So that was really cool.
And I think it's just important that you have to find what works for you, and that's what they've done.
Exactly. Absolutely. So that was a really cool one. And so that was the QSMA virtual conference this year. Again, I think it was a really great experiment. And obviously, you know, many of us wanted to be in person this year, but this was a really great alternative. And I'm excited to see how it impacts the future of that organization, and also other organizations that are designed for rare disease communities. And so it'll be really cool. So it's definitely something to consider. And, you know, as we look to the future of when we do get back to meeting in person, but also virtual things like this have huge benefits for people in our communities. So so that's all I wanted to say. Michael, Deanne, either of you have anything else you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, Kevin, the only thing that I would like to add is that the SMA My Way does give some great information regarding, you know, what they're doing with risdiplam and the work that Genentech has put into this potential treatment. But I also want to let the listeners of this roundtable discussion know that we also discuss much of this information on the SMA News Today forums. So I invite those of you that are listening to this roundtable discussion to go out to smanewstoday.com/forums and create an ID, and you can participate in the different discussions that we have, because we talk about all of the various clinical trials. We talk about what's affecting us as patients with SMA. And it's not just for patients with SMA. It's also for family and caregivers. So we too provide some great information that I think you would find beneficial. So make sure that you go out there, create an ID, and join in on these different discussions that we have. I think you'll find them very beneficial.
Absolutely. You know, it's a great place for just community support. And, you know, we talk about everything from research oriented stuff to just daily living. And like Dan and I said, it was really cool to see many of or several members from our forums community be on those adult socials. So that was really cool. But yeah.
And I'm looking forward to, I'm hoping that CureSMA puts some of their seminars online. I wasn't able to attend all of them because of timing issues, but I know there were ones, someone mentioned maybe talking about how the types of SMA are changing. And so I think that's really interesting topic. And there was one on women's health where it focused on pregnancies. And so there's a lot of information out there. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of those seminars that I missed if they pop up online.
Definitely. And actually, I forgot to mention that about the, that was the one comment that I took away from was in the opening session. Kenneth Hobby, the president of Care SMA, talked about how the classification of SMA types is becoming more and more obsolete, which I've seen that just, you know, from just general observations going to conferences. You know, you see, when you see people, you know, kids who are, have been on Spinraza since even before it was FDA approved and are walking around, you know, that the concept of SMA types is becoming kind of a thing of the past. And that's just one way I think the disease itself is changing. So, and I think that's going to be more and more apparent in the coming years. So that was a really fascinating takeaway.
Yeah, I've definitely talked about that in the past and my findings and on the forums. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that is going to change.
It'll be really interesting. I agree. So cool. Well, Michael, Dan, thank you for joining me today. This was a great conversation. And like Michael said, if you want to connect with us directly, you can visit our forums page and follow our main website at smanewstoday.com. And you can hear more stories and conversations like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also follow our YouTube channel as well. So we have a lot of content out there. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care, everyone.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.